Hi everyone, back with another podcast. I know it's been a little while, but been busy, this schoolwork thing. So my name's Dan Renfro, and this is my podcast. Once again, I have my favorite and only guest so far, Evan Holland, with me. Evan, how are you doing?
I'm good, Dan. Thanks for having me back. I don't think you had a choice, but I appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, that's. I think we should start. We gotta be honest with our listeners. I really don't want to be here right now. It's a little late in the evening for me.
Morning, really.
So I don't really want to. I didn't really want to do this. I wanted to do it tomorrow, which is Friday, which you guys are probably hopefully going to hear because I know you're going to check it right when it comes out. But yeah, I was hoping to do it then, but Evan just persisted and persisted and persisted, and once he climbed up into my bed, I was done and I was up and we were going to do this.
Persistence is my charm.
So here we are, and I mean, to be honest, that was a bad finish to my night because after I mean we were supposed to have our football match tonight.
On the pitch.
Soccer, as some of you may know it, we were supposed to play intramurals. Unfortunately, the field was deemed unplayable. We were unable to play. We were actually, hoping to get our second win of the season and finish with a winning record. Unfortunately, like I said, but we weren't able to play. But I did hear that the other team did not show up, therefore they forfeited.
You heard that? You were there. They didn't show up. We both watched it. But yeah, we could not be more average. We're 1-1-1.
That's
with that's one forfeit. 1-1-1-1.
That's not quite.
This is as good as it gets.
Yeah, not quite as good as it gets, Gus. But you know, so I mean, allegedly we were 2-1-1, and you know, it's not the worst to be just 2-1-1, but I mean, I would have liked to get a little more momentum going into the playoffs.
Agreed. You know, momentum is key. You look at teams who, you know, secure the wild card and whatnot, and that's what it's all about. We don't have that right now. You know, Mother Nature won, us zero.
Yeah, but you know, it's okay. We've battled Mother Nature. We played in the blizzard a couple weeks ago. We played in rain before. I think we've been battle tested.
We have an exhibition Sunday night.
Yes, we do have essentially a preseason, but pre-postseason. To warm us up, and I think that could get us some momentum going in, and hopefully we'll be able to make a run.
Yeah, it's like the Maui Invitational at the end of the year.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've seen better teams, but I have yet to see a team that we cannot beat, which is, I think, reassuring.
2 weeks ago, I saw a team that we could not beat. I think I allowed 5 goals, and we lost 10-0. That team, I don't think we could beat.
I think we could, to be honest. I think we could, but, you know, we're not here to talk about this. We will keep you guys up to date on our happenings. Hopefully, we'll be able to report some playoff victories. We'll see.
Yeah, get some hardware.
But I think we got to start with the real part of this with Evan's official apology. I believe his predictions for Ohio State,
KU,
and KU. A week and a half ago, he guaranteed them in the Final Four. I believe he even guaranteed them in the championship.
Yeah,
am I right? And I said if he didn't get it right, he'd have to have a formal apology. So here it is. He's got this written out. He's all ready for his formal apology, apologizing to you, the fans, of what his predictions for March Madness were like.
Dearest fans, first of all, I'd like to preface this with the fact that nothing in sports is predictable. In fact, nothing in life is predictable. So the fact that KU and Ohio State didn't win was unfortunate because I'm now making a fool of myself. But there have been bigger, you know, shockers in life. However, I'm a man of my word, and I came back on Dan's show to apologize to you all for making those incorrect picks. But you know what? Picking sports picks isn't a perfect science. And I really don't think all the blame should be laid on me. In fact, the blame should be on Thad Matta and Bill Self and their respective teams. It's not my fault that they can't coach up their teams to win 2 more measly games. Not only that, but for Kansas State to lose to double-digit seeds in VCU.
By double digits, I believe. Almost.
That's not in the letter, Dan. It's unbelievable. So, I will take credit that I did pick them, and I was wrong yet again. And I'm often wrong in life. Oftentimes I'm wrong about most things, and I'm often told that by most people I know. I can't articulate how sorry I am, but I am. And better luck next year. I live to fight another day.
That's good. That's and for those of you that are actually mad at him, I just would like to remind you that he is only a freshman, and it's not a big deal. And sometimes you just miss it, you know, like Gus says. And you just live and learn. And, you know, if you're really listening to this show and really taking that much out of it, I guess we should say thank you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I doubt any of you are. So take it with a grain of salt, and I hope you enjoy it. I hope you enjoyed the worst
championship
game in the history of championship games. It actually reminded me similar to my sister's 8th grade girls basketball championship. Actually, I believe they scored more points than those two teams on Monday night. And I mean, nothing to take away from my sisters. They're fine at basketball when they played, but 7th and 8th grade girls basketball, really, I usually don't put that on the same pedestal as I do Division I men's.
That's pretty low.
I mean, it was just reminiscent of the game. They both went similarly. And you know what happens? It's just brutal basketball happens. And I think both teams had an off night. And what can you say? You got one shiny moment I thought was very good. They brought Luther Vandross back. Jennifer Hudson did it last year. She's fine, but Luther Vandross murders the track as the young kid.
There's a reason she wasn't back this year.
Yeah, there were. It was good. And I enjoyed the tournament as a whole. I thought the first day was incredible. Everything else was kind of a letdown after that.
If there's one phrase, though, that you're left with from that tournament, what is it?
Are you hinting that I should work the Gus Johnson soundboard, or are you...
No, I don't know. I mean, it's up to you. What is your lasting impression from that tournament?
I'm looking at the Gus Johnson soundboard to see if I can...
I mean, whether it's a phrase, a team, a player, a coach... An announcer.
Yeah, Gus Johnson, I don't think that's even fair to... To me,
the 2011 men's D1 tournament will always come back to three letters. V, C, and U.
Oh. In that order or a different order?
That order. In a different order won't make sense.
Okay. So, I mean, you're on the Joey Rod. You really enjoyed...
I was entertained. It wasn't enjoyable.
Yeah, see, that's... it's.
I mean, it's no more enjoyable than watching, you know, NCIS. It's entertaining. It's not enjoyable.
Okay.
You ever watch Bones? It's the same sort of thing. Eh, but I'll watch it. Reruns of Law and Order.
See, yeah, I.
But I'll watch it.
If we're just putting it at a word, I guess we can have VCU as a word for you.
I mean, I know they didn't win it, but that's the thing about this tournament. The fact that UConn won it won't be what's remembered.
Yeah, I really don't think it will be. And especially because Kemba. I thought his performance in the Big East tournament was way better than this tournament.
Yeah, I agree. But, yeah, it's going to be the fact that Butler went back to a second straight championship game.
Brett Stevens, I like him with the glasses.
Yeah, he looks 34 instead of 33. it's going to be Butler and their second consecutive run, which give props to that team. I mean, they're not paying recruits like Jim Calhoun and stealing and – buying other
doing things. Horrible, horrible things like most other
right
coaches are.
Right. So to do it the right way, I applaud them. VCU is just a team that just an incredible story. It's unfortunate, though, that VCU and Butler had to be on the same side of the bracket for the Final Four. I mean, cool. Yeah. I mean, incredible if those two were in the championship game together.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think what you said is fair. And to me, I mean, the tournament, like, as a whole, like, looking back, I'm just going to...
I didn't think it was that great of a tournament.
My word of choice would be low quality, hyphenated. Because, I mean, other than the first day, which was tremendous, there were a couple buzzer beaters.
Morehead State, Louisville.
There were Butler, Old Dominion.
Yeah, yeah.
There are some good games.
It peaked for me that second weekend, the Pitt-Butler game.
Yeah, and then it...
All downhill from there.
And then the next day was brutal. And then that Saturday, was it, of the first weekend was when Pitt played Butler?
Yeah, I believe you're right.
Because
yeah,
they played in the second round, or the third round or whatever.
Yeah.
And it... That was a great game, and after that, I mean, there were no real great games. I mean...
I thought the Final Four was mediocre.
It really was. I mean,
it was Houston, we have a problem.
Yeah. That was original there. That was good. But, yeah, I think the tournament as a whole was poor this year, and I don't know. I mean, people say it's the one-and-dones. It's the mid-majors are starting to kind of get better recruits, but they're still not that good, and I don't know. It was disappointing to see... In what I thought, the two best teams in Ohio State and Duke going down in the Sweet 16. You know, and mm-hmm. I think that's where that perfect kind of imperfection comes in, you know. Because, I mean, let's be honest, a single elimination tournament with 68 teams is not the way to get a champion, in my opinion. I mean, if you truly want to crown the best team as a champion, I think the BCS does a way better job than that, than the NCAA does, the tournament. I think it's much more enjoyable. I would rather have a tournament, like single round, single elimination knockout style tournament to watch.
With the BCS, though, you take the ball out of the player's hand. Granted, I like the BCS too because I'm a purist when it comes to college football, and I like the bowl system. And I don't, you know, if a team in this past year like Auburn had lost or whatever, you know, in some inferior GMAC bowl down in Mobile, Alabama, I've been mad. That's a team that should be playing in a national championship.
Yeah, and it's tough. That's where, you know, the plus one idea comes in, the eight. I mean, and football's a lot different because I think there are a lot more really good teams and not as many pretty good teams. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a big drop-off from the top to the next level. Whereas basketball, not the best team doesn't always win. And I think
because basketball's one of the shots just might not go in that day.
Yeah, and I think Kansas dealt with that against VCU. They were ice cold. VCU... caught fire for a while. You know, and obviously the whole national championship game was one giant struggle to find baskets. I mean, I think what'd they say? Butler made 4 2-point baskets in the whole game.
They shot like 18% from the field.
I mean, I could get you and I and three bums off the street could probably shoot 18%.
Without a doubt, at least.
I mean,
and we're not, you know.
I mean, I'm a sharpshooter. You're quick off the bounce.
Mm-hmm.
I think we could create.
I create space inside.
I think so. If we got a bigger guy, we don't need a big man really. We just need a guy to space the floor for us.
We got someone who smelled really bad, or you know, badly.
Yeah, I think.
Basically, we wouldn't even need a bench.
Basically, what we're saying is, impressive as Butler's run for the second straight year was, shooting 18% is just brutal. You know. And maybe they'll be back next year.
And what's sad is they were in that game for most of it.
Yeah. They were up at half.
Yeah.
They're up at half. UConn didn't score 20 points in the first half. They didn't score a point per minute. Yeah. I mean, I could score a point per minute.
Are there other players on the court?
No. No, I really think... Well, I mean, if you think about it, if it's 1-on-5, they're going to score real quick, so I'm going to have more possessions and mm-hmm. shots. But, you know, yeah, 1-on-5, I could score 20 points in 20 minutes. I dare anyone to refute that. If you balled with me, you know not to refute that.
Is it sort of like you could run a mile in sub-4 minutes?
I could do that.
Okay.
Depending on my frame of mind, I think I could do that.
Agreed. Depending on your frame of mind.
Yeah. So, I mean, a little training, maybe a little, you know, it could help. But yeah, and so, I mean, tough tournament. It was fine enough. I think we're done.
I'm good till next year.
We're going to cut the cord till next year. Hopefully not as bad of a tournament.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of stuff happens, you know. You just get so amped up for it.
Yeah.
That first Thursday. And I think no matter what, it never lives up to your expectation.
Yeah, you put it on a pedestal, it really.
Yeah, I mean, granted, you know, last year's national championship game ended, you know, with a buzzer beater. I mean, granted, it didn't go in, but nonetheless, you know, I guess...
A chance to win the game at the end.
It came down to a last shot, which just elevates the entire tournament. You have a Cinderella story. You have a premier program that is in Duke. You have Coach K against this unknown and Brad Stevens. You know, you got Gordon Hayward and...
And see, I think one Cinderella is great for the tournament.
But two Cinderellas and, you know, in the final four. Yeah. No. I mean, everyone talks about George Mason in 2006 and everything they did.
But it was so great because everyone else was like a one seed,
right? Right, yeah, it was all one seeds, and then it was the other guy. So it's one of those, if you're not an alum or a student at those other three schools, it's like, it's George Mason, that's what
yeah,
I want.
Yeah, and this year is like, well, VCU and Butler, like, who do I choose?
Right, so the fans for the Cinderellas, it's one of those divided, we cannot stand. No wonder they lost.
Yeah, I mean, when an eight seed is wearing the home jerseys in the Final Four, I think you got a bit of a problem. And I mean, according to Jay Billis, VCU didn't pass the laugh test. They didn't belong in the tournament.
Do you think there's a problem with the seeding?
I don't know. It's an interesting idea. To be honest, I would almost like a contracted tournament. You know, you make it like 32 teams, but you have another 32 teams. Like, you get all the small schools, and they just kind of beat up on each other to play for like 8 seeds. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then you play with 32 teams, four brackets of 8, rather than 4. I don't know. And it's, but to tweak it to try to get the best champion, I think would be wrong, because that's not what it's about. You know, it's about that one shining moment for the Morehead States. You know, who cares if they got rolled in the second round? They beat Louisville, and that's what they're gonna take, you know, throughout their lives, and they're gonna be able to tell their grandkids, hey, we were 13 seed in the tournament. We won, you know?
Right. Yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
And I think the perfect imperfections, it's a great thing. And, you know, sometimes you get duds of national championship games. And that happens. I don't know. We'll see. Well, I think next year, if there's another dud, I think that'd be like 3 in a row. Because if you remember, last year was pretty crappy for 35 minutes, you know? So, I mean, you almost have 3 in a row of bad. And, I mean, the year before, North Carolina rolled Michigan State.
Well, Michigan, it was one of those Michigan State, it was in Detroit.
Yeah, so.
Kind of jumped on, you know, all the fans and whatnot, and
yeah,
rough time for Detroit, and it kind of just elevated that city and the state of Michigan.
Yeah, so I mean, if next year's another bad national championship, you're running 4 in a row bad national championships. You might have to look at the system, and I mean, it sucks because, I mean, you get the years like 2008 when you have a one seed Kansas-Memphis. A guy makes a great shot with 3 seconds left.
That was the last good national championship.
Yeah, I mean, that was now 3 years ago, 4 years ago now. I mean,
it was 2008.
Yeah, so 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And I don't know. We'll see. You hate to mess with something that's practically perfect.
Do you have picks for next year?
Picks for next year?
Yeah, pick a national champion or even a Final Four. Got any idea?
I'd say Ohio State's going to be really good again. But
you see, Sullinger might be coming back.
Yeah, I heard his dad set it in stone. I think they'll be back. Thad Mata's not going to win anything ever. But according to my picks this year, just right in Ohio State as your national champion. I think North Carolina, Henson and Zeller both said they're back. Mm-hmm. I think Barnes is gone. But, I mean, if he comes back, they have the same team they had this year. They got to be the favorite, right? I mean.
In the ACC? No. Duke.
Let's see. Duke's losing Irving, Singler.
Nolan
Smith.
Yeah. You got Doc's son coming in, though. You got the other Plumlee brother.
You got Curry, don't you? Dawkins. Curry's still there.
Yeah, they're going to struggle.
I mean, they'll be good. Kansas will be good again. I know they're losing the Morris brothers.
That's all right. Less, it's not going to be as busy as for the Lawrence Police Department.
Yeah, not as many tattoos on the team, but I mean, they're... They'll be fine. I mean, Kansas, Duke, if you pick one of them, like, if you can kind of put them together and pick one of them for the Final Four, I think that's usually safe. Obviously, it wasn't this year, but it's usually safe. Butler, I mean, Butler's losing Matt Howard and...
The Mac Attack, is he going to be back?
Mac Attack's going to be back. He's a junior. I mean, I'm guessing he's not going to the NBA. Like,
yeah.
Who's going to draft him after that shooting performance? But, I mean, Sheldon Mack will be back. I think Brad Stevens has a good thing going.
I mean, it's one of those, they'll win the horizon.
Yeah, I mean, they'll be in the tournament. I think that's safe to say. Andrew Smith is going to be back. They want big things. I mean, he's 7 foot tall. He was a sophomore. I mean, if the sophomore junior year is when big men kind of jump, I think, or don't make that jump. So, I mean, maybe Butler, I wouldn't bet against him. I would say Pitt's going to be back in the second round and getting knocked out.
Yep. Write it down. Do not let me pick Pitt past the second round, regardless of who they're playing.
Yeah,
they will not win.
I really don't think they could.
Same with Notre Dame. Granted, I don't think Notre Dame will ever make a run like this again for the next 20 years.
Gosh, that was brutal. Their women's team lost.
Mm.
I don't know. Can you say women choked? Is that appropriate?
Yeah, because they could take us.
Okay. I mean, I don't know if that's just the best.
That was a more entertaining national championship.
It was?
Yeah.
Way higher
scoring. I was pulling for the UConn women, though.
Were you?
I like to see perfection. Granted, they had the one loss in the season, but...
Yeah. You would have liked them to see them beat Notre Dame and then beat A&M.
Yeah.
I think, again, they were the best team.
They're good. UConn is good for that sport.
I think they do. I think what would be best for women's basketball would be UConn to just roll next year. And then be, like, the big bad bully on the block again for, like, Brittany Griner's senior year. And have Baylor knock them off in 2 years. I think, obviously, not many people are going to watch women's basketball or men's basketball. But if you want more people following the sport, which Gino Auriemma apparently wanted, because he was whining about something, about not enough people were at Maya Moore's last game. And, I mean, she's a special player. She's unbelievable. But
she could take me in a game of horse. Probably.
If you're shooting with your weak hand, is it?
Mm-hmm. Well, both hands are pretty weak, but yeah.
I would probably pick her with Gus Johnson coming in. I was going to talk about this later, but I think we can bring this up now, kind of switching. I think if you ever want to make a sport more interesting, like women's basketball, or what I was thinking, soccer, Gus Johnson.
I like it.
Like, imagine Gus Johnson just screaming at the World Cup. Gus Johnson wouldn't be able to handle the World Cup, I don't think. But you break him in, and there's an article, I think, in Sports Illustrated. It was very good. Like, right after the World Cup, it's like, how much further can American soccer really, or soccer in America really go?
Right.
And I think one of the big things is American broadcasters. Because when I identify with soccer, I think of, you know, the English-British accent guys talking about like this, and then the goal screamer.
You know, I like that, though.
I know you do, but imagine if you had Gus Johnson screaming goal, you know, and then you could actually understand what he's saying, and you don't identify it. Like, it's not as foreign, you know what I'm saying? Because people, I think, they think of soccer as more of a foreign thing, because, I mean, whenever you hear about it, it's with a British accent
right.
or with screaming goal. So I think – I mean, imagine just Gus Johnson would be wonderful to call games. I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, you know, you're talking about...
Especially, I mean, if he's not doing anything, NFL locks out next year. Throw him on some EPL games for ESPN. I know he's on CBS's contract, but what the heck?
Yeah.
See how he does. Maybe he won't like it, maybe he will. I think he would really like it.
Yeah. Speaking of soccer in America... I can't remember if we talked about this last time, but Chad Ochocinco and
yeah, I think Kansas we mentioned Sporting. It.
I think it was just one of those he had tried out.
It was right point. Before the tryout. It was before the reserve game or whatever.
So yeah, so now he's on the reserve team.
Yep.
And here is my thoughts.
Okay.
I could care less about the soccer aspect.
Doesn't matter.
But the guy has come out and said on numerous occasions now he loves Kansas City. Question for you, just food for thought. Scott Pioli, why doesn't he give him a call? And they put Chad Johnson opposite Dwayne Bowe. Hello, AFC West champion Kansas City Chiefs.
I mean, you're a Kansas City guy.
I live there. That's it. And I mean, it's like, there.
Yeah, I mean, you're there. But, I mean, and Chad, I mean, Johnson, Ochocinco, are him and Marvin Lewis just, they hate each other?
Sure, yeah.
I mean, I heard one of his, like, Marvin Lewis, like, said in an interview, like, someone asked him about what he thought, and he's like, oh, Chad never finishes anything or something like that. Like, he ain't never started something he didn't.
The fans, I mean, I've lived in Cincinnati, too. The fans there love him.
Yeah.
I don't think Carson Palmer, very indifferent. I mean, the guy mulled retirement, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, gosh.
I don't think Chad Johnson likes the ownership there.
Yeah.
It's one of those, but he's a very loyal guy, and he loves the fans, and the fans love him because he's an entertainer. But I don't think that would stop him from leaving Cincinnati. The fans.
Okay.
Because he would be embraced with open arms in Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean, they want.
And they put a quality product on the field last year. They have an offensive-minded coach in Todd Haley.
Yeah.
they have one of the best young running backs in
it. And it's one of those, you know, Ocho Cinco's on the back end of his career. But you throw him out there, he's going to take a defender away from Dwayne Bowe, and one of them's going to be open.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Castle had a good year last year.
You got Jamal Charles and...
I don't know, is Thomas Jones coming back? Was he on a one-year deal, two-year deal?
I don't know.
So, I mean, you have...
Just saying.
You kind of have the just young guns that...
I don't know what Pioli's doing.
No, he's crafty.
Right.
He built the Patriots teams.
Right. He's cunning.
Yeah. So, I'm torn between the Ocho Cinco and the MLS because one of my good friends, he's like, I think it'd be bad for the league in general, but it's like, you need people in the stadium, you know? And I mean, Seattle's got a great place. They sell out every game.
Kansas City just built a new stadium.
Yeah, so Kansas City's look, but I mean, if people don't go, who cares what kind of product you're putting out? Like, I'm going to pay attention. You know, I'm a soccer guy. I'm going to watch. I'm going to, you know, I think people like me will always watch it relatively. But why not do some stupid media stunts like this? Like, you know, the NBA's talking lockout. Someone signed LeBron. Have him play goalie for gosh sake. Like, imagine, like... Tim Howard, one of the best goalies in the world, is...
Takes lessons from me, right.
Yeah. He's, what, 6'2", 6'3"? Throw 6 inches on that, 100 pounds, and try to score on that. I mean, and obviously, I would say LeBron is more athletic than any soccer player ever.
Who?
Thumbs up, okay. Evan lived in Cleveland for a while. He's a Cavs fan, so. Number 6 for the Heat is as athletic as any soccer player ever, I'd say. And, I mean, if you could get him to, like, be...
I'm just throwing this out there, but the only dribbling he's ever done is with his hands.
Yeah, but get him in goal. Get him in goal, you know? Yeah. And because you see people like Chad Johnson... He has a decent touch, but you can tell...
I mean, the guy, number 6 for the Heat, LeBum, sure kicks it when it matters most. You know, Boston, you know, 9 last year.
Yeah, Boston.
Yeah.
2010 Boston series. It's
pick a year. 09.
It stings.
08. Yeah, I mean, 09 was what, the Magic?
Yeah, that was when he hit that game winner and never showed up again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
Banked it in.
Rise up.
Yeah, so I think you start looking at, like, our best athletes aren't playing soccer.
Well, we had this discussion the other night. I don't know if you were there. What major sport has the best athletes? We went with the NBA. I mean, the guys can run and jump, and see, they can adapt the easiest. And it's one of those, because they're all fit guys, and, you know, the comparison, you know, people brought up some valid points, like, well, you can't say football because, you know, you got 5 guys who are 300 pounds, but it's one of those, I think basketball would be the easiest transition into any other sport.
I think...
Or if you were to put them through, like, a combine kind of thing,
who would
the basketball players would come out top. Even if you were to put them up against corners and wide receivers and, you know, in the NFL and, you know, shortstops and center fielders in baseball and whatnot.
See, I think it's interesting because I think pound for pound... NFL players, I would go, you know.
Or more athletic?
I would say, pound for pound, there's no one as athletic as, like, a defensive end.
You know, I disagree completely.
Like, you're looking at a guy that's 6'9".
Basketball players are quick.
300 pounds. I mean, like, other than LeBron, there's no one in the NBA that's that size and that quick. There's just not. There's simply, I mean, like, and you can go down the line of, like, a Mario Williams, a Jared Allen, Dwight Freeney, the other guy that Dwight Freeney plays with, OCU Mignora. I mean, these defensive ends are freaks. And I would say as a whole basketball players, I would definitely choose basketball players over any other sport. But I think, like, if you're going, like, for as big as they are, I think football's got it, you know? Because, I mean, Shaq, he's...
Well, I mean, there's always going to be the exception, but, you know, when you look at just NBA players in general, I mean, Derrick Rose, he's a freak.
Yeah, I would, if you were to say, like, let's take the top 20 most athletic guys from each sport, say, I would NBA hands down. I mean, I just, and like you said, it's the easiest to adapt.
I mean, those guys are quick. I mean, Rajon Rondo, Derrick Rose, LeBron, Dwayne Wade. I mean, you know, granted, I'm naming superstars here.
Dwight Howard.
But, yeah, I mean, he's quick. But I mean, even if you were to name some guy off the bench for these teams, like Shannon Brown for the Los Angeles Lakers, he's a pretty good athlete.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, that ability to run and jump, would translate into most sports.
Yeah.
You know, baseball, I get it. You throw most NBA players out there, can't hit a baseball at 95 miles per hour or, you know, breaking ball at 80, 85. It's not going to happen. But, you know, they've been doing it their whole life.
Yeah.
I would say baseball players might be the most unathletic. They're just so specialized.
And yet I think they play the toughest sport. If you're looking at the major sports, you know, in the world even, I mean, you could say, you know, we'll call hockey, basketball, football, baseball, and soccer. I would say baseball is the toughest just by general rules. To hit a round...
What you're asked to do?
Yeah, hit a round ball with a round bat from 60 feet, 6 inches away.
Even for a pitcher to put it that close, that
I know, and like to throw a ball
that fast or with that much movement.
And I mean, but yeah, like you said, they're probably the least athletic.
But it's just one of those, I think it's because they're so specialized.
Yeah, and it's.
So I don't know, maybe it's not that great of an argument, but.
Yeah.
Debate, but we did discuss it earlier.
And so, yeah, it's too bad because I think other countries, their best athletes all play football, soccer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're just. Their freaks of nature are playing soccer. And that's where you get the Ronaldos and the, you know, the Xavis, Messis, Drogbas, Lampard. I mean, that's where you get these guys because they're not playing anything else. I mean, granted, they're smaller. Like, I think they said Chad Ochocinco would be like the tallest guy in the MLS if he were to play.
I believe so. Yeah, he's like, I think he's 6'4".
Yeah, he's like, I mean, he's not that, I mean, he's big. But, I mean, if you look at, like, NBA guys.
He's a guard.
Yeah, I mean, so it's weird, like, if you really think about size. Like, Messi, I think he's, like, 5'3.5" or something. Or 5'5.5". It's one of those.
Wow.
And, I mean, that's tiny. Like, that is, the guy can almost get a handicap sticker for parking because he's a midget. Like, he's almost a legalized midget.
Little people.
And, you know, and he's doing well in the big world, but... I mean, you just don't see a translate. I mean, he's obviously a tremendous athlete and everything, but like I could see Chad Ochocinco translating to soccer better than Messi into basketball or football.
Right. Yeah.
And it's a weird argument because I mean, like you said,
exceptions and specializations, but like you said, you were to look at the top athletes in each sport.
That's just full on athletes, not best players. I don't think. I think you say athletes.
Okay, we'll go with athletes.
So, like, I would take Shannon Brown over Kobe at this stage in their careers, you know?
All right, so I think we should go players then.
Okay. Because, I mean, I think that's an interesting argument. Because, I mean, where does that break down, you know?
I'm saying, like, Dwayne Wade, I think he could play quarterback.
I do, too.
And I don't think it'd be that hard for him. Granted, he's not a pocket passer.
Yeah, he'd have to.
But I think it'd be like a Vic-like.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's
Vic.
He's got to be as quick as any of them.
Yeah, he'd be very fast. I mean, he's not a small guy.
No.
So,
yeah. I don't know if he could do it, though. I mean, they didn't have football at Marquette. He doesn't really know football.
No.
There's not really any football in Miami, really.
The Dolphins.
Yeah. There's not really any football in Miami, really.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. It's an interesting debate. But I think that brings us to – you want to talk baseball? We got time for baseball? God, it's late. It's getting late.
It's getting very late. Briefly.
We watch the sun come up soon. Jeez.
First week, what'd you think?
I think it's the
– I guess first – this was the lasting impression from the first week at least.
Impressions from the first week. I don't know. I think the Cubs aren't going to suck, which is important to me.
I agree. I think they can make a run in that division.
I think
that week.
Division's wide open. I don't think it's going anywhere necessarily this year, but I think this could be a year that they make a run, win a division, get swept in the first round. I think that's fair enough. I think the Red Sox, I'm not pushing any panic buttons if they're 0-6. I don't care. But I do think
this could lend a little look into them not really handling pressure so well.
Yeah, the huge expectations for that team.
And they just fell on their face the first week, which is the first week. Who cares? They're going to end up winning 90-plus games, 100-plus games. I really think that. Just because of their sheer talent. Baseball is such an individual sport. Like at basketball, you could put five guys on a team together. They don't like each other. They're not going to perform. But, I mean, for baseball, I think individuals can perform. And I think they like each other, so that's not even an issue. But they'll win 90-plus games and go to the playoffs. But I think, you know, they couldn't perform this week under, I think, a lot of scrutiny for a first week of the season. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe they choke in October. Maybe they...
Yeah, and they're not scoring runs.
Yeah, I mean, they're just not doing the things we expected them to do. And on the flip side, I think that Phillies have shown up as much as...
Well, I mean, who are they playing?
I mean, no one, really. But,
They've... It's just early. Boston's 0-6 start is surprising.
I think it is surprising.
It's surprising. I would have said 6-0 before 0-6.
Yes. Especially because they didn't really play them. They played... Who did they play first? They played the Indians.
Rangers. Who happened to be undefeated.
Yeah, Rangers.
But at least they steal a game there. Just one.
Steal a game against Cleveland. Gosh.
Yeah. But, yeah. Boston's slow start, surprising. And then Baltimore.
Yeah.
Not the fact that they're, was it 4-1 or 5-1 kind of thing. But just they're playing with such a swagger about them. And that's surprising for such a young team. And I said to you before the season started, Baltimore will be decent this year. They'll win more than 80 games.
Yeah, so you still think that? Where do you got them finishing? Like, what record and place in the division?
Third
with 85 wins?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's fair. I think they showed the one stat or whatever on SportsCenter that they're first in the division by, like, 6 or 7 games?
Yeah, and the AL East had the season started August 10th of last year when Buck Showalter took over. The Orioles would have a 6.5 game lead over the Toronto Blue Jays and a 7 game lead over the Yankees.
Yeah, and the Red Sox are last.
Red Sox will be last in the division.
Since then. And I think that's wild. And Buck Showalter, I love him as a manager. I think he just seems like one of those guys. He just reeks baseball knowledge, you know? Like he just knows the ins, the outs, the this, the that.
He's not John Kruk, but he's good.
Oh, no, not even close to John Kruk.
No, Krucky, you can't touch it.
No, but I mean, like, you know, there are just certain guys that maybe don't win all the time. You know, like, Phil Jackson wins all the time. But, like, I'm trying to think. I was talking about this the other day. Gosh, see, we should do podcasts. I think, like, Greg Popovich, like, knows so much about basketball. Like, it probably makes him ill at night to think, wow, I know so much about one thing. You know, it's like they have doctorates in these things. Like the ins and outs of basketball, you know.
Well, that's why they call him Doc Rivers.
Yeah, Doc Rivers just knows. I think
it's true.
If you're going to go to the European side of football, I think Sir Alex Ferguson, the Manchester United manager, for those of you that don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think he knows so much about the game. Like Jose Mourinho, he self-dubbed special one.
Yeah.
I think... If you want to get into it, just follow him. I mean, he manages Real Madrid, so that's not really – that's kind of cliche. But the guys, just like, they're just people that just were born to coach and born to just – and I think Buck Showalter is a guy that can do that. And I think he's a guy the Orioles needed who – I mean, they haven't been relevant in 15 years.
Yeah, 96, 97 kind of thing.
I mean, relevant. Not even good. Like, just relevant. And – Cal Ripken, you know.
I'm not going to – I think they're good. I'm not going to fully throw, you know, my chips in with them yet until they have a series with the Red Sox and a series with the Yankees.
Yeah. And who's their pitching staff? I mean, they just have young pitchers?
Very young pitchers, yeah.
So now
– I mean, it's one of those that could be the next Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah. I mean, do you think a move at the deadline maybe pushes them over the top and steals that last spot? You know, because, I mean...
It's a big market. They can go out and get someone.
I mean, and
if, you know, Seattle's tanking, go get King Felix.
Yeah, I mean, that's... I mean, people forget they shipped out Cliff Lee last year. Like, the Mariners started with Cliff Lee. Mariners were supposed to be good. All of a sudden, Cliff Lee's going to the World Series with the Rangers. People kind of forget that. And I think, you know, maybe a deal like King Felix, you know, you go get someone like that, maybe it helps. And, I mean, you know, they're obviously – I mean, but it comes down to usually in the AL, the – someone will win the West, usually the Angels.
Yeah.
The White Sox or Tigers will be winning the Central, start tailing off. The Twins will surge in, win that division.
Twins will come on in August.
Yankees and Red Sox are 10 games ahead of everybody else. And they're just battling for pride, essentially. They're both in the playoffs. They're going for pride. But, like, can the Orioles, like, can they sneak in there? I mean, do you think – I mean
– I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility. Yeah, I really don't, you know?
I think the Yankees are very solid this year. I think that's
– It's going to come down to Burnett. The bullpen is incredible. Granted, Soriano blew a 4-1 lead the other night against the Twins. But, you know, that's going to happen. I get that.
Yeah, you got
but Chamberlain, Soriano, and Rivera, I don't think is better than anyone else in baseball.
Yeah, you got it. When your starters have
when your starters got to go 6 innings, that's it. You got to go 6 innings.
That's
and you know your offense is going to score 4 to 5 runs a game.
So you go
minimum.
You go 6 innings, give up 4 runs, you win that game.
You're most likely going to win.
Like that's
tell me that's not the life.
Yeah, I mean, having your ERA, I mean, what's 4? That's an ERA of 6. You have an ERA of 6, you're going to get 12 wins on the Yankees. Sign me up, you know. I couldn't have an ERA of 6. But still, not outside the realm of possibility.
Yeah.
And I think, but I think the Twins there, the Twins are very interesting. And when I came to Minnesota, I wasn't really a Twins hater. But I was like, look, you guys won 15 years ago when I moved there. You guys are good every year, and you guys lose in the playoffs. With this, I think it's the new stadium. But you watch the Twins, and I've lived there for a while now. You can't help but love them. Like they're how baseball should be played is how the Minnesota Twins play baseball. Like they do what it takes to win. They can slug it. They can slug it out. They have Morneau. They have Tomy, who's gonna get 600 home runs this year, hopefully. Granted, he stays healthy. Kubel can knock it out of the park. Kadir can hit some home runs. Obviously, Maurer has doubles power, but he can knock it out. And Target Field's a brutal stadium to hit it out of. But, I mean, that stadium, it almost hasn't – people look at them a different way, you know. They're not really in the shadow of Kirby Puckett anymore in the Dome. They're their own team, and they really
– I think they gained the new identity when they moved outside.
I think they did. It's like a whole new –
Not line. Supposed to play ball indoors.
Yeah, and I think – They really took that on and just said, let's do this, you know, and maybe they can beat the Yankees this year. I would never, ever, 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 ever bet on it.
No.
But it's something, it's no longer outside the realm of possibility. And I think they thought that last year.
You know what, how you, Yankees know, you, know steamrolled. How you sound?
How do I sound?
You sound delirious. You sound like that 3 days that they have between the end of spring training and the start of the season when everything is possible and every team is 0-0 and Pittsburgh Pirate fans and Kansas City Royal fans are like, this is our year. That's how you sound right now with Twins beating the Yankees.
But see,
please.
But
it's not going to happen.
Hold on.
It's one of the bylaws of baseball. It doesn't work like that.
I understand that. But hear me out. The Pirates and the Royals have not been on the cusp of anything. They have gone nowhere ever for a long time. Them thinking it's their year is completely different than the Twins, who are perennial division winners.
And that's it. And the dream ends there.
Yeah, see.
Congrats, you won your division.
But see, when does that dream become? I mean, obviously they don't really have the starting. They don't have the pitching this year, I don't think, that they've had in years past. Like, you know, that Santana-Liriano team. If that wasn't going to do it, no one was. And they didn't.
You got Liriano Pavano.
Yeah.
Best of luck to you.
And, I mean, you're a Yankees fan. And I'm a Twins-ish fan. I'm a Cubs fan. So, I mean, come, like, August, I start talking American League because National League's just too sad to talk about. But I live and die with the Cubs. But the Twins, like, again, never put any money on it, but watch them this year. I think you would really enjoy them as a team. They play fun baseball, and now that they're outside, I mean, Minnesota in the summer is beautiful. It really is. It's great. It's a great place, and
it's like Cleveland when it first snows. It covers everything up. It's the only time it's nice.
You don't have to see Cleveland.
So. Right. Like, all the potholes are filled in. It's nice.
You know, I think Minneapolis and St. Paul are actually, like, decent cities, whereas...
I know, I've never been. Well, I've been to the Minneapolis airport, and my knowledge of it ends there, but... No, in all seriousness, I have heard that.
Yeah, so, I mean, they got good stuff. I think they, again, don't put any money on it, but I would follow them this year, and I think... Jim Thome getting 600 home runs, you know, I think that's a big deal. Morneau hopefully coming back from an injury. He got concussed pretty bad last year, I guess. Missed the last half of the season. Maurer is Maurer. Double play Delmon Young, who, if you've ever talked to me, you know my, I don't even know what to call it, like a hatred wouldn't be enough. You know, it's kind of like, you know how people have like, guys have like man crushes? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like the anti-man crush. Me and Delmon Young.
Really?
It's like...
Who is your man crush?
Can we talk about Delmon Young first before we go into the man crush part of the show?
Yeah.
But Delmon Young is just such a horrendous excuse of a baseball player. I really can't talk about him without getting just angry. So we're gonna stop now. But I mean, the guy's trash when it comes down to it. Can't argue this way, that way, or any other way. It's garbage.
Okay.
Sorry, Delmon. Because every time I say it, he just hits a freaking 3-run double. The guy is the quintessential 1-for-4 with 2 RBIs in a game that you lost 7-2.
He's the guy who pads his stats in a loss.
Like, and it's tough. It's really...
I was that guy in Little League.
Really, really tough to pat your stats in baseball. I understand that. He does it. The clown does it, and it's... Ugh. I'm just getting... I'm taking my jacket off. I'm getting worked up over this. Because he's just... Ugh, he's just so bad. You know, he'll be having a good day. He'll be 2-for-3. A couple extra base hits. He'll come up in the 8th inning. 2 guys on base. You're down a run. That double play is so... It's more sure than the Twins losing to the Yankees in the playoffs. That's sure. And, gosh, I just... He is anything but...
Mr. Clutch.
Yeah. Anything but Mr. Clutch.
Yep. Because Captain Clutch is in New York. He plays between Alex Rodriguez and Robinson Cano. His name is Derek Jeter.
Yeah, he batted an impressive 265 last year, didn't he?
270. Career average over 300 and 600 home runs. How about 3,000 hits in a career?
Sorry, I'm sorry. That was I love Jeter actually. That's just my Delmon spite spewing over.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, 4,000 hits isn't out of the question for Jeter. I mean, he gets 3,000 this year. You think he ends up at 3,100? He's got to get 900. He's 37. I mean,
he's got 3 years left.
He's got 3 good years left of just short of 200 hits. I mean, it's going to be a stretch, but I think 3,500 hits is very possible.
35. I don't think he will not hit 4.
4,000. I mean, think about it. People can hang on until they're 45 in the base. I mean, Julio Frank.
He won't be a Yankee, though. And for me, and I hope Jeter does this, and I've brought this up on numerous occasions, I don't want him switching to another position. I don't want him playing DH.
When you can't
play shortstop anymore, and you can't bat 300, and you're not clutching the playoffs, retire.
Thank you for all the memories.
I want nothing but positive. I don't want you to be that guy that lingers. Don't Favre it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Favre. That was sad.
It's one of those, in all honesty, if the Yankees were to win a World Series this year, and he said, I'm done.
We're going to miss you.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be sad, and I'd probably be like, well, give it one more year.
But in your heart, you know.
It's right. You go out. You're done. It's about showmanship.
And yeah, Favre was, oh God. I was actually in Chicago when he came back against the Bears, a Monday night game. I was actually in like a bar and grill type place, and everyone's there, you know, in their Bears stuff. Because it was a Tuesday night, wasn't it? That was the Tuesday night game. No, that was the Philadelphia game. So it was a Monday night, and everyone was just like, "Oh my God, Favre's coming back!" Like, and the amount of fear that was in that like bar and grill, like especially the bar side when you walk by. I mean, it was just like, "He's gonna do it to us. He's coming back for one last hurrah to just stick it to us," you know. And everyone was so scared, and then he didn't. He got rocked. Guy didn't know where he was on the field. And it was sad. I don't want that with Jeter. I mean, Jeter is just a great guy. He's a class act. He does what he does as good, if not better, than anyone that's ever done it. And, you know, why push the envelope with playing outfield for the Angels?
Don't do that.
You know, stay at shortstop for the New York Yankees when you can't do it anymore. Become the manager of the New York Yankees. You know,
and I just hope he knows when he's done and isn't one of those athletes. And I don't think he will be. I mean, I think he will. He'll know.
He'll know. I mean, and sometimes you just know.
Right.
Some people don't know. Favre didn't know. Which he's not officially retired yet, is he?
Nope.
He could.
The only thing keeping him out is the lockout.
Yeah, that'll give him an excuse. But, yeah, I mean, it's sometimes you just got to let it go. It's hard, but yeah, I think we talk sports. I think it's time we unveil our secret. Something we did this week. Yeah. Something I got a lot of grief for from one of my good friends.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't told anyone.
He said some very, very horrible things to me, but
sorry.
As of Monday, we both did it.
Yeah, I did it first, though.
You did it first.
For the record. But I had to. This thing that we'll tell you about, it's one of those, when I woke up Monday morning and someone said, "Today you're going to do this," I would have laughed in your face. I didn't think I was one of those people. I didn't think I'd be one of, you know, someone who does something like this. However, I have fallen in love with it. I am head over heels.
Can't think of it any other way, can you?
No, I won't go back.
You can't?
I can't go back. It changed. You're a different person afterwards.
You're better for it.
Right. And you did it.
I did. Another one of my friends did.
Yeah.
At home.
Right. And there's some other people who've done it. And, you know, we've learned that there are other people we didn't know of who also do it.
Yeah. I mean, that's where it...
And that's... I mean, that was even more shocking to me.
It was...
Yeah, it was unbelievable. Yeah, so it was one of those, you know, it didn't take long. It's actually relatively quick.
Yeah, painless, really.
Very much so. Very painless. But rewarding. There's such a satisfaction.
There really is. It's tough to do, but I think we made good decisions.
Yeah, I mean, glad I did it, and you seem happy with it.
Yeah, and I mean, basically what we did, we went and got ourselves a Twitter each.
Yeah, we've been tweeting all week long.
We've been tweeting, we've been following, we've been any other thing like that. I mean, we've done it all.
And I'm convinced, had they not called it Twitter and tweeting, it'd be much more popular.
I think you're right. I think that's a stupid name.
And people need to get over that fact about how stupid it sounds and just do it.
It's
the coolest thing. It is Facebook and texting, like, combined.
It's so awesome.
It's cool being friends with people that would never normally accept your friend requests.
Yeah. I would... Ryan Gilmet, my friend, he had some choice words for me and my choice to get a Twitter. And I would like to challenge him to get one and to try it.
What did he say?
We can't say that over the air. Just know that I've made the judgment on that. But you know, I want him to try it, and he won't. But it's my challenge. I'm calling you out, G, out in front of everyone. I'm calling you out. Anyone else? My parents, Evan's, maybe Evan's parents, and. Anyone else who randomly stumble upon this will know you're punking out, G. So I hope you listen, and I hope you listen this far, and I hope you understand that I'm calling you out on my very own podcast, which doesn't really have an official name yet, but we're working on that too. But I want
you. You got any feedback on that?
No, none at all. But I want you to know, maybe I can tweet that.
You need a name, yeah.
I could tweet that.
Today I spent my day tweeting at famous people, hoping that they would follow me. No luck so far.
None yet.
That's why they give me Friday.
I had a good another friend of mine who already had a Twitter. Brian Russell follows him. The guy that Jordan pushed, you know, on the last shot. He follows him. It's quite the deal. I mean, I don't know why. He says it's because he spits truth. So, I mean, it's got to be true, right? If it's true, then it's true. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, so, I mean, we can tweet what my show name should be, and we'll see what people say. But, yeah, so, G called you out, just so you know. Just called you out. Want you to know that, you little punk. And other things I'm not going to say, but just know how I feel. But, yeah, I think we've talked ourselves out. We've tweeted ourselves out.
Yeah.
We had a good time.
You were hesitant to do this at first, and I did not climb into your bed and pull you. You were sitting on the couch.
You can, whatever you want to say.
You're sitting on the couch.
Okay.
I came down and politely asked you, would you like to do a podcast this evening? And you said no. And I said, do you remember 3 hours ago when you had me restructure my entire evening so that I could help you and assist you with your show?
You would have been sleeping at this time.
Yeah, I would have been asleep. I mean, don't kid yourself. You wouldn't have either.
But,
I mean, the people need to hear from us. It's been a while.
It's been too long, man.
Right.
I feel like Dr. Dre, you know, holding back an album.
Yeah.
10 years, man.
We can't Tupac this.
It's like 10 days. Yeah. 2012? 14?
14.
14 is coming back. We won't wait that long, friends. We'll hopefully be back again. I want to talk about the NBA playoffs and stuff next week. I don't know if it'll be Evan or someone else, but hopefully it'll be Evan. For those of you that were looking for the Nathan Horst podcast that I promised, that is, you're probably barking up the wrong tree hoping for that.
You know what I feel like that's like?
What's that?
Are you familiar with Jimmy Kimmel?
Yes.
Are you familiar with every night how he signs off with, sorry, Matt Damon, we ran out of time?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he says that every night.
Really?
Yeah. Nathan Horst could be your Matt Damon.
He could be. Sorry, Nathan
Horst. You promised the people every night, but sorry, Nathan, but we ran out of time.
I think we might do that.
You know.
Or maybe next week he'll actually be on. I guess you got to come back. See, that's just it. He might be on. I wanted him to be on this week. Unable to do so. That's why this is late. I want him to be on next week. But we might just be running out of time, Matt Damon / Nathan Horst.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to be pretty busy next week.
You are?
Yeah.
I think I am too. Who cares? We can punch this out. Why don't we do this on like Wednesday nights? I don't have class on Thursday till 12:30. We got to plan this out better. I mean,
I don't know. We don't. See, that's the problem with us, though. Well, I can't speak to you, but for me, I don't think.
Yeah.
I just react.
Yeah.
And it's not good.
Yeah, it can't be good for you.
No.
You know what is good for you, though? Good old-fashioned car wash.
A car wash. And that, people, is how I got Dan Renfro to do a podcast
tonight. He convinced me.
I promised him a car wash tomorrow. No, I don't own a car.
We're gonna borrow a car from our friend.
And go through a car wash.
I mean, we'll probably tweet. Let's tweet during the car wash.
You should have seen Dan's face, though, when I said that you're doing a car wash. We're going to do a car wash.
We're going to do a car wash. We're going to tweet during the car wash. It's going to be the best of both worlds.
Not only that, but I said it's not going to be one of those car washes where you pull up, you get out, and they put your car in
control. No.
We sit inside and watch the car get soapy.
Can we get a deluxe? Like one of the, like, high end.
You can pay for the difference.
We'll see about that. But yeah. If you listen this long, thank you very much. Feel free to tweet, text, Facebook any questions or something you may have to us or anything else you got. But yeah, I think we got, that's all we got for the week. Thank you very much for tuning in. And we'll leave you with a little Gus. All right, thanks. Have a good week, guys.